Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, finding the inspiration to quit smoking and start running.
Actually, when I still smoked, I would bring my cigarettes on my run and stop for a cigarette and continue running. And I think I only ever ran like 2K or something. But I always get like chin splints and kind of go out too fast and try to do too much too at once and stop and get frustrated and just kind of, just give up. And so she kind of gave me the motivation to start again and kind of gave me some of the tools to help with actually doing it properly.
The newest adventure for an old friend.
I'm gearing up to run 2,200 kilometers from South Africa to Angola through the Namibian desert, right across Namibia. So it's a beautiful place, intense environment, up to 50 degrees Celsius, but unbelievably diverse wildlife and terrain, ranging from some of the biggest sand dunes on the planet to canyons. I mean, it's all there. It's going to be an amazing journey.
And an Olympic marathon runner turns to coaching.
Coming from an elite background, I know if I would get really excited about someone trying to break 4 hours through the marathon. It's just, when I was an elite, it was kind of, that was a very foreign thing to think about. But I just really love when people have goals. They get excited about it and they're willing to work towards them. So for me, it's really rewarding when people are dedicated and excited about their training and about their goals.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Yeah, really, really good. Thanks for asking. You?
Very well. How's your running been lately?
I tell you, I'm back in that mode where I run from place to place where I go. And so people, that's always when my running is at its tip top, where I never miss an opportunity to get one in. And I'm sort of doing that now. And I get a lot of sort of confused looks when I show up at my appointments, but that's okay. I wear the brand, the iRun brand, and I wave the flag and I'm running everywhere I can get.
All right. So you're running to appointments, you're running when you're doing errands, that kind of thing?
To the dentist, anywhere I go, I'm running. People just have to, this is how I'm living right now. And it feels good. I'm getting ready for 2018 and positive vibrations.
And you have the luxury of being able to say, well, look, I'm the editor and general manager of a running magazine. This is who I am. It'd be different if you were a lawyer or something like that. It wouldn't quite work the same.
Yeah, although I do ask sort of a lot, the dentist, then I get into the dentist chair and it's like, wow, okay, sorry, it's a little sweaty, but at least it doesn't smell like cigarette smoke. Everybody's got their picadillos.
Yeah. I remember one year, this is going back a few years, but there was a bus strike in Ottawa and I used to take the bus to work at the radio station and there were no buses and we only had one car and my wife needed it to drop off the kids and get to work. And so I basically ran to the radio station, did my show and ran home again. And it was about 5K each way. So it meant I was running 10K each day, but in 5K increments, it was the middle of winter. It wasn't fun, but nobody had to sit with me in the studio, so there was no concern about that. But that's how I got it done.
I like that. I tell you, we're coming into a new year, and a lot of people are making resolutions. It's like, how do I keep my resolutions? And I mean, I don't know. A good little bit of advice could be just like run as often as you can. Because, and I tell you, the secret bit about that is, and I got this from that Born to Run book. When they found that tribe in Mexico, and by doing that, by running everywhere that they went, it also means you watch what you're eating. I mean, you knew during the day that if you were going to run home, you weren't going to have lobster bisque or whatever it is you normally eat. You were going to eat something kind of light so you could stay in motion.
Yeah, I like it. And look, you know what? You need to mix it up. You need to change things from time to time. You need a new reason to run. You can't fall into the trap of too much of a routine or you're not going to enjoy it. And so, my example right now, you're running when you're out and doing things. I've actually started to use the treadmill a lot more than I used to because we finally bought a treadmill. I'd never had a treadmill in my house before. I'd been a member of a gym with a treadmill, that kind of thing, but I'd never had one in my house before. A few months ago, we got a treadmill, and now I'm finding that what's working for me right now might not last forever, but what's working for me right now is I get up early in the morning, before I do anything else. I run, these are on weekdays, I run for 40 to 45 minutes on the treadmill, and I get it done, and then I get on with my day. And at this time of year, I would not be running outside at that time of the morning. It's just too dark and cold. And I'd be saving it for later in the day, and then it would be conflicting with meetings, and I'd have to squeeze it in and all of that. And so this is working for me now. And then I still run outside on the weekends, which is great, but this is what's working for me for the moment, and I'll run, you know, I'll run with this for as long as it lasts.
There you go. And that's an important thing, too. Like, again, and I've found this stuff with myself, too. It's like, you know, 45 minutes in the morning is great, you know, because you're thinking about what, okay, whatever your goal is for the new year, maybe you're going to PB in spring or something like that. So you could sort of do like these 45-minute runs and just sort of keeping your kind of fitness up, you know, and it's kind of enough. I know with myself sometimes that it's like, oh, if I'm not following this complicated program and like training, I can fall completely off. But it's like better just to like, you know, run to the dentist, like just stay with it. And then when it's time to dial it in, you know, you're not going to have such a huge gap to fill.
Yeah. And I still do a long run on the weekends. Even when I'm not training for a marathon, I try to do 20K on the weekends. So I'm still getting in a bit of distance. And, you know, when you were talking about resolutions and fitting it in where you can, I always remember, I think we're going to have Catherine Switzer on the show coming up in a few weeks, but I remember interviewing her before, and one of her biggest lessons was run when you can and don't overthink how much time you need. If you've only got 25 minutes, run for 25 minutes, because that's better than running for 0 minutes. So
yeah, I got a good one like that too. I remember Krista Duchesne telling us one time that when she, I mean, I think this was even the year that she got into the Olympics, that she would do speed work. She would drop her kid off at daycare and then like literally do speed work in the field behind the daycare.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, it's like, just get it done. You know, it doesn't have to be glamorous, the Rocky III Drago training regime. You know, just get out there and do it. Do what you can. You
know? And fit it in around everything else. My wife went for a run the other night while my daughter was at Sparks. And
I
used to take my stepdaughter to swimming, and I would either go for a run in the neighborhood around the pool while she was swimming, or I'd go run on the treadmill in the gym of the community center where the pool was, you know. So you get it done when you can, and you make it work.
I tell you, I don't want to belabor this point, but on Monday I took my daughter to Sparks, and God help me if I didn't go across the street to a bar. Now, that's just the thing, though. A 25-minute run. Sometimes it's like not what we do, but what we don't do. So, you know, two beers and a cheeseburger and French fries, a 25-minute jog would have been better, even though
You know. But you know what? You got to get the two beers and the burger and the time in the pub. You got to get that in as well. That's part of life, too.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Mark Sidcliffe, Mensch.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to Aleca Lilias, and I know you know her story. She quit smoking, and she's changed her life through running. We've got Ray Zahab on the show, iRun's runner-in-chief, who's getting ready for another crazy expedition. That's what Ray does at this time of year. Very inspiring guy. And we're going to talk to Dylan Weichs about some training tips, because he's now not just an Olympic marathon runner and elite athlete. He's a coach.
Yeah, great.
All right, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week, Ben.
Love it, my friend. Thank you so much.
That's iRun's editor and general manager, Ben Kaplan. Coming up next, from smoking to running. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge, four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Our first guest this week is Aleca Lilias. She's a former smoker who started running, and now she's coming back to the sport after having a baby. Aleca, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand that your story begins, your running story begins when you quit smoking. Is that right?
My running story actually began in public school.
Okay.
I ran cross country when I was in grade 3 and always won that. And then when I was later years in public school, 7 and 8, and then grade 9 and 10, I was a 100-meter queen in high school. I ran a lot of track. I won the track and field all-county, which is like Halliburton County, not very many counties, but still I won the top female for that. And then I found smoking and drinking and kind of dabbled in and out of running until, yeah, I quit smoking. Quit smoking actually almost 9 years ago, but then kind of still in and out of running. But then it wasn't until a good friend of mine started running with the Food Runners, Alex Beswick, and so she hadn't run a kilometer before in her life, and they taught her how to run a 5K, or, you know, coached her how to run a 5K. So she asked me if I wanted to start running with her again, and kind of challenged me to run the Around the Bay 5K.
Okay.
And that was in November before, I guess, that was November 2014 that she asked me if I wanted to run the one in 2015. And so that's when I started again.
That's when you started again, and that's when you started doing longer distances, obviously, because that's different from sprinting in school.
Yes. Yeah. So I kind of tried to run longer distances. I actually, when I still smoked, I would bring my cigarettes on my run and stop for a cigarette and continue running. And I think I only ever ran like 2K or something. But I always get like chin splints and kind of go out too fast and try to do too much too at once and stop and get frustrated and just kind of, yeah, just give up. And so she kind of gave me the motivation to start again and kind of gave me some of the tools to help with actually doing it properly this time.
So you would go for a 2K run and you would stop for a cigarette?
Smoke. Yes.
Wow.
I would smoke on the way. Yeah, I know. That was a commitment for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I started doing a little bit longer distances and working up to doing my first 5K in a very long time in 2014. And then, yeah, we ran Around the Bay, and she was actually 19 weeks pregnant, so she had a different goal for that 5K than she had for a previous one. And I wanted to run it under 30 minutes for that.
And how did it go?
I did 27 minutes. So
good
I
for
pretty,
you.
Pretty happy with that. And it was kind of my first time ever really, well, since high school, and crossing a finish line and getting that kind of euphoric feeling of, you know, accomplishing something you put your mind towards. So I was a little bit of an addict after that.
Yeah. And were you done with smoking at that point? Because I've talked to some runners who their story, the smoking and the running overlaps, and then eventually they get rid of the smoking. But you had finished at that point, right?
I had been finished with smoking at that point. I had been having some severe, not severe, but I've been having some weight issues. I had been diagnosed with a very low thyroid that went undiagnosed for a very long time. So I'd had some issues with, you know, trying to do some exercise but feeling very lethargic and not being able to kind of get myself into it. And then that kind of got under control and it kind of gave me the push as well to kind of start going. But yeah, I quit smoking at that point since 2008. So I'm on my ninth year of not smoking now.
Okay, good for you. That's great.
Thanks. Other than giving birth, one of my greatest accomplishments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's another part of the story, though, giving birth, right?
Yes.
Because you've had a bit of an interruption thanks to life getting in the way and motherhood.
thanks to a baby. Yeah, so I spent most of 2015. I ran my first half in 2015. I kind of trained, but I also at the same time was not training properly. Like I wasn't doing a lot of cross training. I was kind of just running and managed to injure myself at the end of 2015 after I ran the Nike 15K. That summer, I guess that was 2015 in June. And then, yeah, continued to run, but then kind of injured myself and ran the Scotiabank half marathon in 2015 and ran it injured. And I think I came in at two hours and 18 minutes or something. I pulled my hamstring during that and then kind of wobbled my way after 17K. But then, yeah, shortly after that, a month after that, I was healed and ready to go again and decided that I was going to run a half under 2 hours in May. And so then I started to, and, you know, January 1st, I kind of woke up and was like, I'm ready to just kind of, you know, kind of a lifestyle change. I was still drinking a lot, eating crap, and like, I really wanted to get my thyroid under control. I really wanted to be a mother. And kind of I've been diagnosed with PCOS as well, which is polycystic ovarian disease. And the only way to kind of manage that is not, there's no cure for it, is to be maintain a healthy lifestyle, basically. You need to lose weight and be healthy. With the low thyroid, I was kind of, everything was working against me. So I decided, in the beginning of 2016, that it was kind of time to get my butt in gear and actually just start, you know, eating healthy and training properly and see what would happen.
Good for you.
And
so
yeah,
what did happen?
What did happen? A lot happened. I cut out sugar for a while. Like, I used to drink coffee with milk and sugar, and that was kind of my first thing. I was like, cut out the milk and I cut out the sugar, and so I just drank my coffee black. That was a big thing for me because I started to actually just really enjoy the taste of just pure coffee. And I cut out mostly sugars, and I don't eat a lot. I didn't eat a lot of carbs, but I started eating better, you know, more healthy and more healthier carbs, I guess we'd say. My husband is a chef, and so he was helpful with maintaining my, you know, good foods, good fats, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's handy.
In the first month, I actually ended up losing about 20 pounds was able to kind of, you know, I ran the Peterborough Half Marathon in February just to kind of see where my fitness was at and see what was, you know, see how I was doing. I also started running with faster people. I kind of had kind of been okay with just running like a 5:45, 6 minute kilometer and kind of was just okay with that for a long time. And then I realized, you know, I have somewhere deep down me, I have the potential to run faster than I was. And so I started doing track. I started doing, you know, a hit and run with the Nike group would do every Thursday, hit and run into Liberty Village. And so that was very helpful, was working on core and glutes and all that good stuff. So I started to see the difference in that. So my, you know, my average went from being like a 5:45 and I would drop down to about a 5:30. And then I ran the Peterborough half, which I didn't realize it was, I don't know if you've ever run it, but it's extremely hilly. No, it's
okay.
Really hilly. It's like you climb, it's an out and back. And so you climb hills kind of constantly. But I dropped my, you know, my time from a 2:18 to a 2:10. And then I continued to train, continued to, you know, lose weight, but gain muscle. Like, I wasn't really concerned with the amount of weight I was losing, but it was significant because I could feel my clothes were getting a lot looser and I felt myself getting faster as well. I was given a training routine or a training program for the Good Life half, and I kind of followed it as much as I could. And I actually didn't drink for a couple of months. I think we went on vacation to Colorado in February, and I think I had a couple of beers during that time, but that was kind of it. I kind of cut that out as well, which I saw a huge difference in just kind of like mood and weight as well, and just being able to have more energy in general. But then, yeah, Good Life half, I ended up coming in at 147.
Wow.
So
that's a big jump.
But yeah, it was a huge jump. Yeah, and I feel like at the end of that, I probably could have pushed myself a little bit more, but still, I was extremely happy, and it was, euphoric is kind of, not even the word, because I was really, really pleased with myself. And even before that Good Life half, I had signed up for Chicago Marathon and gotten in, and so I knew that I was the next thing on tap was Chicago Marathon, so yeah.
And how was that?
And that would lead us till October, and I didn't know it, but at the time was pregnant.
Right.
But yeah, I about 20 kilometers into the Chicago Marathon, my calves seized, and it was a really hot day. It was last year, I think. Yeah, it was pretty warm. I had a secret goal of 3:26, which I was on target to get, but then I had to end up having to walk and ended up having to get someone to massage my calf, actually. I ended up coming in at 3:48, which I'm extremely happy with as well for the first time marathon. My main goal was finishing, and then my second goal was under 4.
Yeah, that's a terrific time, especially if you had issues with your calves. And
At that point, I went to the washroom. I stopped and walked for a bit. So, yeah, extremely happy with what, actually. And then turns out I was actually pregnant, and so I kind of... It all kind of makes sense in the end.
Yeah. So it sounds like running has really kind of changed your life a little bit.
It really has refocused
you in a lot of ways.
It really has. I kind of, 2016 was kind of a year of realization. I did a lot of writing. I did a lot of kind of, I started a blog and just kind of opened up about my earlier life and how running has kind of helped me, get through a lot of, my marriage kind of fell apart in 2016. And so that was kind of helped me kind of stay centered, as well. So my husband and I actually were separated and then found out I was pregnant after. So we're currently co-parenting this child together. So it kind of running has kind of helped me, maintain my sanity.
No question. And are you back to running now after the birth of your child?
Now, yeah. And so I then found out I was pregnant. And so trying to come back to running after, being injured and then 4 months pregnant is, dealing with morning sickness and all that fun stuff was a little bit tough. So I ran throughout my pregnancy kind of intermittently, nothing crazy, until about 37 weeks. And I pulled my pubic bone actually while I was pregnant. And so I stopped running and then started up again. I think about 10 weeks. When she was about 10 weeks, I went for my first run. It wasn't anything crazy, and I still don't really have, I haven't timed myself or worn a watch or done anything, just kind of going out for the love of running. And she's big, so she's 4 months and it's about the size of a one-year-old child. So she's got good stability, so she can already run in the running stroller with me, which is great. My
staff, perfect.
A Bob running stroller for my baby shower, so. I've got her in a stroller and she loves it and falls asleep. And so I run right by I live right by the rail path in Toronto. And so we run there and back. But yeah, I've been out, almost 10 times running, and it feels totally different. And running with a stroller is a totally different experience than running by yourself. But
it sounds like it's central to kind of who you are now. It's part of who you are.
It is totally part of who I am. It's kind of, I've met a whole different community of people and a whole new circle of friends through running that have kind of, been my support through, running as well as, this pregnancy and this baby. So.
Well, good for you.
Thank
fascinating
you.
Story. Aleka, it's great to talk to you. And I'm glad that running has helped you through all of these challenges and changes in your life. So thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it as well.
That's Aleka Lilius. Coming up next, we'll catch up with iRun's runner-in-chief, Ray Zahab. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Ray Zahab is iRun's runner-in-chief and the founder of Impossible to Possible, and he also used to co-host the iRun podcast with me. We thought it was about time we caught up with Ray to find out about his next adventure. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you? Great to talk to you again.
This is like completely opposite than the way we used to do this. You and I were on there at the same time interviewing other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it's great to have you back. How have you been?
Very well, very well. And I suppose you're still running a ton.
Oh, yeah. How about you? I know what you're up to. You're getting ready for another crazy adventure.
I am. I'm gearing up to run, and there'll be some trekking sections, obviously, because it's going to be difficult. 2,200 kilometers from South Africa to Angola, roughly 2,200 kilometers, through the Namibian desert, right across Namibia. So it's a beautiful place, intense environment, up to 50 degrees Celsius, but unbelievably diverse wildlife and terrain, ranging from some of the biggest sand dunes on the planet to canyons. I mean, it's all there. It's going to be an amazing journey.
Wow. It sounds amazing. So where do you actually start in South Africa?
I'm not sure at this point on the exact community that we'll start from, but we're going to be starting pretty much on the border.
Okay. Yeah.
And we'll as well be piping content through satellite to obviously social media, but schools all over the world. And we're also partnering with KenGeo Education, Canadian Geographic Education, to connect hopefully with as many of their students as possible.
Great.
So we'll really try to bring this one to life for as many students as we can and use the run or the journey as a way to connect this unbelievably, as I said before, diverse place.
And how much do you hope to run every day? Because, of course, it's going to depend a little bit on the terrain and the environment, right?
I don't even want to guess. I mean, I'm somewhere between 50 and 100 every day. I mean, it would be great. I mean, it just depends on, as you said, weather, injuries, terrain. There's just so many variables. It could be up to 50 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Celsius.
I mean, wow.
It can get really hot at the summer. And, conversely, it can get quite cool at night. So, it just depends on how things go.
But it's going to be something like a month, roughly, that you're going to be running?
Yeah. Give or take a month.
Yeah. And I'll be jealous of you because you know how much I hate the winter here. And you're going to be in January, you're going to be talking about it being too hot, and I'm going to be complaining about how it's too cold.
You know, and I love both. I love that we live in four seasons.
Yeah.
In the National Capital Region. I mean, I'm out running on the trails in Chelsea today, and I'm ready for winter. But I do a bunch of winter things. I mean, that's the thing is runners, you know, that's the critical mass, right, is getting out and doing different things besides just running. You know, I love going fat biking in the winter. It's amazing. It's so good for my running.
And how have you been preparing for this latest adventure? What kind of training have you been doing?
I've been doing a lot of strength training. I mean, this past year, I've peaked out with, you know, 100-mile weeks. I've ran 50K and plus long runs numerous times. So, you know, I've been traveling a little bit with running as well. And now I'm heading to the Atacama Desert, which is a desert, as you know, that I've ran across before. It's a 1,200-kilometer desert, the driest place on Earth. And I'm going into a section of that desert to train for a week, just basically, you know, running and testing gear over the course of 7 days.
Okay, just to prepare for this other expedition.
Exactly, to prepare for Namibia, to go all the way over to Namibia to get as specific as possible. Training, just too expensive.
Yeah.
So we said, you know what? We know the people. We have tons of friends in Chile, so we said this is the place to go. So that's where we decided to make it happen.
So you're going for a week to run in the Atacama Desert, which for most people would be an adventure on its own, and it's actually just to prepare for your adventure, which is coming in January.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's how you roll.
It sounds ridiculous, but I mean, we looked at going to Southern California because ITP is based down there, and Bob is down there, and you know we have a lot of friends in California, but it just simply wasn't hot enough, you know, and we needed to go to a place that, like I said, we knew. I've been to this region of the Atacama Desert actually numerous times.
Yeah.
So quite familiar with the area where we're going to go and train, and it's spectacular. So it's a great place. It's very hot. There's a bit of elevation involved as well, which is good for training. So, yeah.
So you've been doing a lot of your training wherever you are. Of course, you travel a lot with your work, but a lot of it's been here in the Ottawa area, obviously, and in your home of Chelsea.
Yeah, I was home all summer, and of course, we have a series of races.
Yeah.
Three Beavers Racing. For any of the folks out there that want to check it out, it's the number 3 and then beaversracing.com. And, you know, in planning and flagging these courses and going out and sort of searching out other race courses, you get a ton of volume, right? And basically, when I finished my Arctic expedition last year, that's when training began for this expedition. So it's been a year, more or less, of just training specifically, knowing the end goal was to go to Namibia, a lot of strength training, a lot of stuff like that.
Tell me more about these races that you did this summer, because I know you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and you were telling me just how rapidly these events are growing, and how much you've been enjoying the experience of putting on these events and seeing the community come out and really enjoy themselves when they've been doing these races.
Oh, you know, that's the greatest reward, right? Is seeing people, young people especially, coming out and hanging out and doing the races. And, you know, the races are all different. There's something for everyone. We have a winter race that we're starting this year. They give a choice of 5, 10, or 15 kilometers. You can wear snowshoes or go on foot, depending on how you feel with the terrain. You know, it's a tough race, but you make the choice of the distance you want to do. You know, we have another race. Couple of races next year, 3, 6, 12 hour, and even one of them a 24 hour, where you're running on a closed loop, if you will, of trail, and you run for those periods of time, you know, 3 hours, and you get as many laps in as you can. We have a 150-kilometer stage race that crosses Gatineau Park over the course of 3 days, and it's an amazing race where you carry your gear, but you're provided with the food every night. And then we have, you know, we cap the race season off with a fall race. That is, you have a 25K, a 50K, and a 100K, and they're all ran at night. So they're complete nighttime events.
Cool.
So you basically start at 10 p.m. and you go through the night. It's amazing. People loved it.
And I know for some of these, they're in a way, for the people in this area, they are simulating close to home some of the experiences that you have when you go and do these staged events and some of the races that you did back when you were a competitive runner. There's a connection to that, right? I mean,
There is, for sure. I mean, you know, and same with my, you know, with my partners, Matt and Serena. I mean, they are accomplished runners, and we've taken what we love about races and recreated it here. And not to forget, by the way, the I2P run, which is a non-competitive event, which we put on every year at Lac Philippe in support of I2P Impossible to Possible. So, I mean, the whole idea with these is really to celebrate the National Capital Region and this unbelievable resource of trails and wilderness that we have in Gatineau Park.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like no other place on earth. I mean, you go to the capitals of the world, and then, you know, go check out the national, you know, the park scene. I was going to say National Park. Gatineau Park's not a national park, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a large outdoor recreation area, and it's so close to the nation's capital.
I mean, yeah, it's great.
So we really wanted to sort of put that the finger on the map of that and get people coming here. And we've got people from all over coming to do these races. Florida, Hong Kong, Taiwan, UK, all over the US have come to do these races.
So turning back to your expedition, what is it you're most looking forward to about running in the Namibian desert?
You know what? Honestly, and it's going to sound so corny, but it's true. The thing I look forward to the most is seeing something extraordinary, experiencing something amazing, capturing it on film or photograph, and then sharing that with students, and then seeing their reaction, you know, and then having a conversation with them by satellite about what we just saw. I mean, that mix of bringing the adventure into a classroom for me is way more rewarding than just the feat of endurance, if you will.
Very cool. Well, Ray, I wish you the best of luck with your training. We will connect with you again at some point, whether it's right before or right after this amazing expedition you're about to go on. Thank you so much for being on the show once again.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Ray Zahab, iRun's runner-in-chief and the founder of Impossible to Possible. Coming up next, Canadian Olympian Dylan Whites. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Dylan Whites is an elite Canadian runner who competed in the 2012 Olympic Marathon. He has now turned his attention to coaching. Dylan, welcome to iRun Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And tell me a little bit about what you've been up to lately. You've made the transition a little bit to doing some coaching on top of your running, right?
For sure, yeah. A little less of my own running and a lot more coaching. I have a business called Mile to Marathon. And, yeah, we do remote online coaching. And we also have groups here in Vancouver where I'm based, along with my good friend, Rob Watson.
Yeah, that's great. We've interviewed Rob many times before. So you said you're doing a little bit less running for yourself. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, right now it means just no schedule, no structure, no goals, you know, which means some weeks I get out every day. Some weeks I only get out there a couple times a week when I'm running with the groups and coaching. So, life has just kind of been a bit crazy with two young kids. I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And, my own running is less of a priority, but that's okay.
Yeah, and how does that feel for you after so many years where it was perhaps the biggest priority in your life and the thing you kind of organized your life around, and there always was a goal and an objective now?
It's very different, for sure. You know, like you said, it kind of, when I was an elite athlete, it was kind of you wake up every day and that's the focus. And now that I don't have that, it's kind of interesting. Some days I find myself wondering why I'm not still doing it. And other days I'm quite content to not be. So, I mean, I'm 34. Then maybe there's the chance that I'll get back into it more seriously again. But right now, I'm pretty happy with where things are at.
And are there days when you go out for a run and you just enjoy the experience of running without having to worry about how fast you're going or whether you're meeting your training objective for that day?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to just go out there, although I'm really out of shape right now. So I can't enjoy the bliss of it like when I was in really good shape, but at the same time, not having those goals or training objectives weighing on me is nice when I do get out there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your out of shape is way beyond the reach of most of the rest of us runners. So it's out of shape by elite Olympic standards only, I'm sure.
I guess so. We'll see. Where I'm supposed to pace a 5K this weekend, and I'm getting a bit worried. So we'll see what I can muster up.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine. So tell me a little bit about the clients you work with, and you talked about how your group is called Mile to Marathon. What's that all about?
You know what? It's I started this coaching service back in 2013, 2014 with my friend Michael Woods, who used to be an elite runner, and he held the, I believe he still holds the Canadian junior record in the 1 mile, and he's now a professional cyclist and doing amazing things. But he and I embarked on this endeavor, and he was the miler and I was the marathoner. So that's I believe my wife came up with the name Mile to Marathon, and we use M to M as an acronym. And when you flip M to M upside down, there's two W's, so Wikes and Woods, and it fit well. And now Rob Watson fits in there with his last name with a W too. So.
All right. Well, if you ever bring on anybody else, you're limiting yourself to only one letter of the alphabet, I guess. Yeah.
I know. We might have to do something about that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the people you work with and what you're guiding them towards.
For sure, it's quite a range of athletes. I would say the biggest group is people that are kind of on the bubble of qualifying for the Boston Marathon. So people that are in that range of getting BQs and are kind of just looking for a little something extra to take their training and racing to a new level. But you know, we train people who are first timers who are trying to run their first marathon, you know, maybe in the 4.5 hour range. And we also coach some elites who are running, you know, women running in the 230, 240 range, and men running, of course, they're getting under that now.
And tell me about the experience of coaching for you and what you get out of passion for running with others, along with your knowledge and expertise.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I enjoy a lot more than I thought I would. I never thought I would, coming from an elite background, I never thought I'd get really excited about someone trying to break 4 hours for the marathon. It's just when I was an elite, it was kind of, that was a very foreign thing to think about. But I just really love when people have goals, they get excited about it, and they're willing to work towards them. So for me, it's really rewarding when people are dedicated and excited about their training and about their goals, and that's what keeps me coming back to help people, is the joy that they get out of it, and that I can kind of enjoy that process myself.
You mentioned that you help runners get faster, especially those who are trying to cross a certain threshold, like a Boston qualifying time. What does it take to get faster, and what's some of the advice that you give to your clients on improving their speed?
Yeah, some of it depends on the person, but a lot of times it's getting people to run more, and kind of counterintuitive. It's getting people to slow down on a lot of their runs so that they can run more. And then also in turn, that allows their workout to be of higher quality. You find a lot of people, are just kind of running at paces that are in these kind of no man's land, that they're not really achieving a lot of gains and not allowing themselves to recover a lot. So it's a bit too fast to be a easy run, but a bit too slow to be a tempo run. And then
it just it doesn't end up achieving a lot. So slowing down to run more, and then in turn allowing them to run some faster workouts too.
All right, and what advice do you have for runners? This is the time of year when they're setting their goals for 2018. They're thinking about starting new programs, maybe entering a spring race, that kind of thing. What's some general advice you have for runners on how to get the year off to a good start?
Yeah, I think you got to set those goals for sure. Write them down, put them on your fridge. Simple stuff like that. Those visual cues that are going to keep you motivated, and make sure you put a good amount of time into writing those goals. They have to be something that is very meaningful to you, something you really want to dedicate yourself to achieving. If it's just kind of wishy-washy, you're probably not going to follow through. So make sure those goals are important.
And something you just touched on a moment ago, I think, is relevant too, and that is trying to get the most out of each run that you have, as opposed to just if you are trying to improve your performance. Obviously, if you enjoy running and you just like getting out there and you're happy to run at any speed, that's fine. But if you're trying to improve, you've got to think quality and not just quantity with each of your runs.
It's true. Yeah, you've got to realize that there's a purpose to each day in your training. So understanding that, getting a good program that's going to help you, get the most out of each day is going to be important. It's not, you can't just go out there and wing it and hope for the best.
You mentioned you have young kids. Do you ever go for a run with them in the stroller?
Yes. I used to do, quite a bit of running with our youngest, Spencer, when she was a little bit younger, but nothing more than an hour or so. She kind of gets squirrely after that, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and we certainly work with people that are parents, and that's how they're going to get out the door, and that's awesome in my opinion, if that's what has to be done.
Yeah, so you got to make it work no matter what, right? And that's another important lesson maybe at this time of year.
Exactly, and I think there's lots, people have lots going on in the new year, but it's, if you can carve out a little bit of time for your running, then it's great, and you'll see improvements, hopefully.
All right, good stuff, Dylan. It's great to talk to you again, and I wish you continued success with your training business, your coaching business, and I'm glad you're still enjoying running, even if it's not all geared towards a marathon in the future or a specific performance. And as you say, maybe someday you'll get fired up about competing again. But for now, it sounds like you're enjoying the experience of helping others achieve their goals.
For sure, yeah. Thanks for making the time, Mark. It's good to chat with you.
That's Olympic marathoner and coach Dylan Wykes. On next week's show, we're going to talk to three runners who have traveled all over the world, including a legendary hockey coach and a former member of parliament. Hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.